You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for joining me again on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Today I talk with Claire Spaulding, and I found her online actually, and her whole brand presence really resonated with me. I liked the look, the feel, and it spoke to me. So I decided to invite her to come and talk to us because her company is My Brand Story. And she's got some great insights and some tips for us to learn that branding is more than a logo, a font, and a bunch of colors. And she really gets into the depth of empowering you to build a truly authentic business and brand that will connect with your potential clients. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Claire Spaulding. Claire, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm very pleased to have you today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So I actually came across you online, and I loved what you are doing with your My Brand Story business. And I really resonated with a lot of the things that you had to say around branding. And so I wanted to have you here to share not only your story, but give us some tips that salon owners can put into place. So why don't we start with, tell us a little bit about you, what's your background, and how did you to come about My Brand Story?
Okay, a bit about me. I've had close to over 14 years in brand strategy experience, working in big corporates, you know, going down the line of getting my degree and working, wanting to work my way up to be the best, you know, the big business. I've been working in Australia and over in Europe as well, so experience in brands both places. I just wanted to not be a marketer, but I wanted to be part of the change and part of the brand strategy. And I thought I could make my mark by doing that in big companies. As the years went on, I sort of realized that I, you know, the big dreams that I had about making a difference didn't really, they didn't happen like I thought they would. And what happens in big companies is you sort of get caught up in all the things that aren't about the business, you know, the politics. And all those things that, I mean, that's life, but it wasn't for me. I really felt like it was marketing. I didn't like marketing. I must do marketing. So when I followed another dream in interiors, I thought, oh, it must be interiors. Mm-hmm. And I sort of went back to work for a company in the UK in interiors, and I started doing their marketing and brand strategy. And so I said, well, actually, I don't know if it's that. And so then I came back to Australia with big dreams to start my own, you know, shop, interior shop. Hmm. And then I went to this women in business. There were 300 women in this gathering, this new event, and everyone was saying, "Okay, I met hairdressers, I met so many different women from all over," and I said, "All right, I've got it. I've got my shop. I've got my, you know, my website. I've got everything. Okay, now what? Like, what do I do now?" And I was thinking, I know what to do now. That's sort of what I'm all about, helping build a brand that will connect and build a brand that will bring in the right target market, identify who you are wanting to target, and then bring them in. And it was a bit of an aha moment. I said, I can do that. And I think I really love the difference for me was helping small businesses and helping like-minded entrepreneurs build their business, not working for a big corporate.
Yeah.
So really in that moment, my brand story came about. And I was determined to build a product that people could then learn online. I didn't want them to have, you know, with speaking to these women, they are mums, they have businesses, they have no time to invest in themselves, and they have no time to go to courses as much as they want to. So my thing was accessibility and building a brand pack that would help them identify who their target market is, what they're about, what's their unique selling point, what's their mission statement, you know, what's going to set them apart, all these bits and pieces, and put it into a brand pack. And I went home and created this brand pack and created an online course so you could access it anytime, anywhere, and you could do it as long as you want without having to feel like, you know, it's about being that self-motivated. I want people to believe in themselves and then, you know, believe investing back in. And that's sometimes hard as well when you're so busy and you're just the mass in the wheel and you're just trying to get every day everything done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's so true. And did you ever open the interior design store?
No.
No. A new dream took over.
My dream. And this is, it's so interesting because I'm so passionate about this and I am still passionate about interiors, but I'm really passionate. This is something I feel like, you know, I've found my spot. And I thought it was, I didn't like marketing, but it wasn't that. I just didn't like the environment. I just really, I get so excited working with my clients and I love helping them, you know, realize their true potential and helping just that, create their aha moments about you are here for the right reason and you just keep backing yourself and giving them the tools to do that.
Yeah. You can see your in affinity with design in your website and in your videos and so you're obviously something that you really love.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I do love. And I think, like, for me, you know, creating my brand, and we'll talk about this with your going further, but I want people I want people to get an idea of who I am. So if it's on my website, if it's on my vlogs, if it's in my course, there is a consistent me coming through, and that builds a relationship, and people build that. Then builds trust,
and for sure.
It's authentic. You know, I'm not a big corporate. I don't even know. I loved it when I could throw my suits away. I don't have a suit anymore. I'm wearing a t-shirt, and really great pants and sneakers today, and I love that because that's me.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I had my wardrobe. I actually talk about this in one of my vlogs. I had a work wardrobe and I had a me wardrobe, and all I wanted to do was wear my, you know, be me. And that was sort of a really aha moment as well because I was like, this isn't me.
Well, good for you. I think that's really great.
Yeah.
So you're going to tell us a little bit about branding.
Yes.
And but there are a lot of misconceptions around branding.
Yeah.
Let's bust some of those misconceptions.
I often find myself when someone says, "Oh, what do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I'm branding." And they said, "Oh my gosh, I need a new logo." I said, "Well, I can help you get to a new logo, or I can help you get it to a new website." But branding is actually that narrative behind the logo. So what it's really, and I think we do this, you know, when you start a business, you have all the tangibles. You know, I need to get my accounting in place. I need to get my website. I need to get my logo. They're things that are tangible. Yeah. And what is so lucky about business now is that, you know, we can do all of that ourselves. You know, we can access all of that. We're not hamstrung by anyone else.
Yes.
But the branding behind it is the reason to be, why you want it, why you're here. Why does your logo look like that? Why do you want your website? What do you want to look like? What does your shop front want to look like? What is that story behind what you see?
Mm.
And it is, because it's not tangible, it's harder to explain. But it is one of those things that if you could think of a brand that you love now, then I always say that to my clients. I go, think of a brand that you love. And you think of a brand, and I always say Apple, just because I'm a bit of an Apple freak, but more to the point, not just because of the technology, but it has built a very strong personality.
Nice.
And it knows its target market. It knows what's important to us. It knows all these things. And that didn't just happen.
Mm.
They didn't just make a great product and stick an Apple logo. Apple, I mean, the word Apple, what did that mean before Apple? It has no connection. But now that word Apple means so much more because of all the story and the narrative behind it.
Mm.
And that's what branding is. Branding, I like to think about it, it's your business's personality. So like you have a personality and like you connect with people. You know, I know as humans, we would want to connect with people that are a little more authentic. We see right through inauthentic people.
Yeah.
And we want to connect with real people. The same is for brands, because as humans, we're still motivated by that. And we still want to align with brands that we trust and brands that we can be proud of. You know, my association with Apple, I love Apple. It makes my brand look better because, you know, it's that same sort of thing. And it's the same with any business. I mean, I use a product, but it's the same with any service provider. If you sit down and think about brands and businesses that you love, there's a reason behind that. It's not just what you see and what you touch.
I like the word that you've used, personality, because you can describe a person's personality.
Yes.
And so what you're saying is that you need to have a similar experience with the brand.
Definitely. And ultimately, every brand comes from a person. So yes, it's someone's brainchild. It's someone's aha moment. You know, it's someone's, I'm going to back myself and I'm going to go out and I'm going to start my own business. There is that moment. And I talk about, that's where I start when I work with my clients and that with my brand pack, getting those little aha moments, breaking down the who, what, why, and how did you start? What was that reason that you said, I can do this and I can start my own business? Because they're all the reasons that help you build that story and who, you know, the person that you are coming out in your business.
Yeah. I think that's it's really important, because what can happen is that we're so inside our own business, it's really super hard to objective and see from the outside what your business is, because like you say, it starts with a person. It often is based on you or your preferences, your likes or your personality. And so to step outside of that and to build a story for your brand is really hard. And so I suppose that's the value of having someone like yourself who is outside of the goldfish bowl.
And looks at it.
Yeah.
But the aim of my product as well is to empower people to do it themselves, because you have all of the answers. And that's the beauty. You know, gone are the days where you pay an advertising agency thousands of dollars to say, here, like the Mad Men days, here, just create my brand.
Yeah.
Because they don't know it as well as you do. Yeah. And even though you are inside it, you have all of the nuggets, you have all of the gold, and it's just putting those processes in place to have to allow you to look at it, not look in it.
Yes.
And it is hard. And I think, and I struggle with that even with myself, is those, you know, when you, I've got this diary now, it's getting me better organized. And he has this on, it's called from Michael Hyatt. It's an on stage and off stage. And on stage is when you're providing the service and you're helping people, you know, you're actually making the money. And the off stage is when you're investing in yourself and your business. And, you know, as you said, stepping away and getting, building more like an empire than opposed to just you.
Yeah.
And he spends, of the 5 days in the week, and maybe because he's more, but he spends more like 2 days on stage and 3 days off stage. He spends 3 days putting back into his business and building it, and the 2 days, you know, face-to-face clients.
Delivering it as
such.
I think there's something in that. There's something to be said about that.
Definitely. And I even, as a, you know, as a brand, because I like you and like all of your listeners, I have my, you know, I'm driving my business day to day.
Yeah.
But being able to have someone tell me, you know, you actually need to invest, you need to step back and look at it, it was really nice to see. It validated that, because I think we feel guilty when we do that. We should be, you know, driving it. As you said, when you're a salon, you've started as most likely a one-man band, and it's all about you.
Yeah.
It's spending that time to sort of look at it and step back and being able to build it around you without you being physically in it.
Yes, without you actually servicing the clients and doing the hair and doing the facials.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then who's doing the business?
Exactly. Who's doing all of that and actually growing it? Because you're not going to be able to grow it in that respect, are you? Because you're in it. The mouse in the wheel, I always call it. So I think from that perspective, when I work with my clients, I always speak to them and say, well, what are you hearing from your clients? What are your clients? What are the things that keep coming back about what they love about you and why they come back? And they think, oh, you know, I actually have this, I'm currently doing a webinar on it about unique selling points. And it's about what makes you unique over everyone else. And we all have it, you know, being a person driving a business makes you unique.
Yeah.
And it's about working out, having two columns on your left, working out the target market, picturing who they are. And I encourage your listeners to be pointy with this. Think of it as a pyramid. The top end, it needs to be, now we want everyone, I get women from, or men from 20 to 65, and I want to encourage all of them to come. If you thought about it, who are the ones that are coming back every 6 weeks? Who are the ones that are actually keeping your business going more, you know, and think about it, and who you want to also attract? Who are the people that you picture in your mind? Because when you can picture a person, when you're doing any activity, it's going to make it a lot more targeted, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If you're trying to attract a 20-year-old and a 65-year-old, you're really not going to have a really pointy, a little pointy point of difference, if that makes sense.
I like that.
Yeah, like it's at that time. And don't, you're not alienating. You're not alienating this 65-year-old woman at all by focusing on perhaps a 35-year-old woman. You're not alienating, but you're just focusing on that, and that'll trickle down. But it makes it, it makes you, if you can, like anything, if you're buying someone a birthday present, you want to think about them and what they want. And therefore, you give them a present that they actually desire. The same happens with service, and the same happens with your target market. If you can picture somebody and think about what they want and then deliver on that, the connection is going to be greater, and you're going to build a better relationship. And then your loyalty, and I call them tribe members, start. And the tribe members are the people that not only come to you every other week, but they're telling everyone how amazing your salon is.
Yeah.
And they are your biggest advocates.
For sure.
So you want to be driving those people into your business. I don't know if I've got off, but
target no. is important. Before you come back to USP, I just want to touch on that because it's something that I teach in my Turn Likes into Bookings course. And I talk a lot with the salon owners that I coach, because I think, you know, you've said everything beautifully. I 100% agree with that. You're not alienating the other people, but it makes your messaging more clarified, more... Somebody said, I don't know, some famous person, I'm sure. Well, certainly wasn't me, but I borrowed it. When you're, you might be able to say it better. When you're speaking to everyone, you're actually speaking to no one. You need to really clearly speak to a very clear demographic. And then the other people look and say, well, if they can look after her, well, they surely can look after me.
That's it.
But
And that is what they, you've nailed it with that as well, because they look at that peer endorsement and they look to that person with some sort of admiration.
That's right.
And they want to be like that person. You know, we all have these. And they think, yes, if they can, I can. And that's, if you can create that line, it's gold. It really is. And I always quote Steve Jobs, if you can touch someone's heart, it's limitless. If you can get in there and work out exactly why, the who, what, where, and why motivates them, and you can provide that service, you have them for, you know.
Life. Yeah, I know. I think you're exactly right. And I think, hopping in the head of the client, we're so busy inside of our own business. We're so busy worrying about the team and the bills and the, you know, are we running on time today? And have we run out of this, that, and the other?
Yes.
That actually we forget to hop out of our business and hop in the mind of our client and look back at our business and be
definitely.
Objective that way.
I have this conversation with my clients all the time, and I used to have this when I was working in my old job, and it's, are you consumer-led or manufacturing-led? That's because I worked in my industry. But you want to always be consumer-led. Every decision you make as a business, you have to think about your consumers and your clients and what they want. Because if you're not thinking about them when you're making your decisions, you're losing connection. And you in turn will lose the business.
It sounds so simple when you say it, really. It's like, well, of course. But in fact, it's not typically our reality unless we are intentional about it.
Exactly. And I have, I mean, because business decisions, when I say manufacturing or whatever you do, with the salon, you know, the admin side comes into play. Well, this could be a lot easier for us to use, or this is going to save us X, Y, Z. This is going to make us more money. You can't help but think that way because you are a business.
Yeah.
But what is, I would challenge your listeners to just take a step and flip it. Think about what if that might have saved you money, but what if you actually targeted this because they love that? You might actually make more, you know, you're building more volume that way, and you won't need to look at the saving the money the other side. So
that's
trying to look at it from the other perspective.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Well said.
And I think that was like going back to that, the creating a unique selling points is identifying your target market. List five things that you first work out your target, the pointy end of your pyramid, and list five things that you hear that they love or that they want or they expect when they come in. List those things from the salon, and then have another, put a line down the page and then put your services and list five or whatever you can think of how what you do, what your salon, what your service provides that can connect with that. But that's unique, you know. It could be they really enjoy, I don't know, a glass of wine when they, you know, they like the option of a good coffee and a glass. It's something silly. That's a good, yeah. There's a little bit. This is just that feeling on top, or the option to have not only their nails but their hair done at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. If you can get that and then you could list the things that you're good at and see if you can marry them up, that's a really good activity to do.
Yes.
To try and find those connections and almost draw a line. Oh, yeah, we can do that. And that then sort of sets your tone of what you should then start talking about, what your unique selling points are, and you should then start promoting.
Okay. That's a good little exercise, actually, because I think it's hugely important to do, but that just simplifies it, actually.
Yeah, it's really simple. And it's take that time away from the salon, you know, just get yourself in a space. Even if you go to the local cafe, just remove yourself from it a little bit as well, because then you won't be distracted.
Yeah.
Because you can't help be distracted when you're in your own business. Oh, what's going on there? What's going on there? Give yourself that time just to remove yourself and look at it. Look at it from the outside in as well. Remove it, literally physically move out.
And actually the team and the clients will distract you. So
exactly.
Yes.
And you might get distracted by other things. I mean, definitely I'd encourage to sit there and listen to your clients and write some notes. That would be great, because I think it's all there. It's just being in tune with it and just opening up to it.
Being intentional about listening out for it.
Exactly.
So we were chatting before and you were saying to me, how lucky are we to be in this industry?
Yes. I was thinking that.
That was nice.
Yeah. We talk about the fact that I do this. Are you, as a business, are you promoting yourself, a product, or a business? It's one of the first things I do, one of the first with my course. And it's making people sit down and work out what they do and who they are. Do they want to be promoting a product themselves or the business? And I always think service providers like salons you have such an advantage because, you know, you're like the Jamie Olivers of the world. You are promoting yourself in the beginning. You know, you don't have to look deep for your unique selling points. They're already in you because you're promoting your business on you, on your own person.
Yeah.
And it is a lot more authentic. And if you think about it and if you deliver it in that way that is about you, you're going to connect because you're a person connecting with another person. It's the strongest brand. I think it's the strongest brand position that you can have because unlike a product, you're trying to promote an innate product to a person. And yeah, you can talk about what drives them and their needs. But when you're promoting a person to another person, you've already streets ahead of understanding the target market and understanding what you're about as a business. So yeah, I think service providers always get a bit, it's hard to promote a service because it's me. No, that's actually the best thing about it because it is you. You have strong unique selling points, the strongest, because you can't replicate your own skills and your own attributes and what your vision is for your business. I think what we were talking about before is the challenge is, okay, I have a friend she's a hairdresser and she's still with a one-man band and she is flat out. And she's often talking to me about, okay, I really would love to bring someone else in. I'd like to build this so I don't, you know, I'm not on the tools, as they say, all day, every day, and I get a day off. And that is a transition that is a struggle, but it seems the struggle because you think, well, these people, I've built this relationship with these people and they're never going to want to go to anyone else but me. But if you can transition that person into a business, and I want to say this, Jamie Oliver, he's not making all his own recipes. He's not creating all his own recipes, but he's built a brand that supports his vision as a person. Yeah. But he's transitioned into a business now. Even though he is a person, you are now creating a business, and you're bringing people in that are going to be the same things that you are, and the same things. And that still comes down to looking at your unique selling points. You know, what do I provide as a service provider, and how can I? That's almost like your tick. That's like your checklist for when you're hiring people. Yeah. Are they going to do and be exactly what I am, you know, but with their own flair, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely you have the advantage, but the challenge that you'll find is taking that step out a bit and, you know, looking in as opposed to the mouse in the wheel. But that is even more important to getting what you're about early. And then just making sure that you're living and breathing it, not only with your staff, but your messaging on your website, your social media. It's a really consistent, your unique selling points are consistent everywhere. So people are saying to remember what service is provided, not just you. That makes sense?
Yeah. So let's just talk about teams a little bit terms of building that brand personality and weaving in the different personalities in that business, because it doesn't have to be about the one key leading person, but it's about building. What are your thoughts on that, on building that team of personalities, if you will?
Yeah, I think it's about I think every business, and people will say, oh, it's marketing jargon. Every business should have a mission statement.
Yeah.
Why are we here? What are we here for? Yeah. And I think that it should be visible. You know what? You know, this is a business owner. They want to say, "I want to provide this because of X." But it's a bit of a motivational statement.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important, because as individuals, you're going to take from that what you want, and you're going to have your own flair with it. But you're still reaching for the same target, and you still are there for the same reason.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, unique selling points. You must cut your hair this way. You must do this. You must do that. It's more about why people come to the salon. And it is about the fantastic service, you know, maybe the fantastic, but it's also about, I go to my salon and I actually don't mind if I can't get my normal cutter, Shane, I know that I can go to one of the other guys and it's fine. Okay. I go there and I feel really comfortable and I feel completely in their hands. And I don't ever question, because I know that he would only bring in people that have their own style, of course, because they're artists, but they are reaching, they're hitting his criteria of what service needs to be provided. Yes. And so, from that perspective, definitely you need to be original. You can't be cookie cutter, and that's what makes a team stronger. But it's about following his ethos and his mission to deliver. So, definitely.
I like that you've put the word inspirational next to mission statement. That's the mission, that's the vision that they're going for, it's the inspirational, but in fact you bring your own part of that to the table in terms of the team.
Exactly, and don't be afraid of it. I think sometimes as business owners, that's your baby, and it's the hardest thing to be able to let that go, but it's also the most empowering thing. It's empowering to see if you set the lines in place, you know, you set your mission in place, you set what your business is about, you get your team on board. And I think the biggest thing is you don't just sit them down and go, this is our unique selling. These are what we're about. Because if you're already doing that, they're not engaged.
Yeah.
It's about going, you know, as a team, we're going to be about this. We're going to be about that, and empowering them to be a part of that because they are your face of your business.
Absolutely.
So if you can do that, and you do it in a way that is inclusive, they're your biggest advocates.
I think you're absolutely right. You need to bring them in to be part of it. Otherwise, they're just observers and doing robotic cookie-cutter type of stuff. Whereas if you bring them into the fold and it's part of a joint journey, even an evolutionary journey, you know, the mission or the vision sort of changes over time.
Definitely.
Obviously not too dramatically, otherwise you don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So what's really intriguing to me is that this word branding, and it's back to that sort of early misconception. Here we are talking about branding, but in fact we're talking about teams, we're talking about personalities, we're talking about feelings of clients and things that they want. And in fact we very hardly touched on logos and colours and fonts and any of that stuff. So I think that's really refreshing. Mm. And I suppose that's why you've called it My Brand Story, not just brand your business.
Yeah, it's about you, and your every story is different. Like everyone's life story is different, everyone's brand story is different.
Yeah.
And I think the stronger the story, the stronger the business, personally. Yeah. And honestly, that is proven. It's, you know, people, as I said, think of a brand. I encourage all your listeners, think of your favorite brand, whatever it is. There is, I tell you now, there is a really luscious story behind that brand.
Yeah.
And that's why you're connecting with it. It's not their logo. As I said, what did apple mean? The word apple before apple. It's a fruit.
With a bite out of it.
Exactly. It has absolutely, I say it's making your business from 2D to 3D and making it a lot more complex and not, that's not a hard thing. It's just telling your story, really.
I suppose too, it's having the confidence to be yourself or to put out there what you want and let it grow organically. Yeah. And we talked a little bit about this before we hopped on the recording was, I guess, FOMO, you know, not looking out at everybody else and seeing what they're doing and saying, oh, that must be the formula. Let me do that.
Yeah. I mean, in one of my weeks, I actually dedicated a week to competitive set. And it is about understanding who your competitors are because we're in business and you should know, but not running their race.
Yeah,
I set that so then you can identify what you offer that they don't.
Yeah.
What, and it's a really, and I've had clients that say, here's one of the most confronting, it's a confronting week. Because one of them said the other week, said, I don't want to know what they're doing because then I'm going to feel like I can't, like I'm overwhelmed, like I don't deliver this, I don't deliver that. She said, but when I did it, and I said, she started realizing, yeah, but I've got this and I've got that and they don't have that. And it is really empowering to do that because, you know, not everyone, you don't, not everyone's going to be a Tony and Guy. Not everyone, you don't want to be because they might be big, but they're not you. And they're not going to offer these unique services and this relationship and these personal aspects of a big business. They try to replicate, you know, they try to replicate in big business, but they can't. So my focus is don't run their race because you don't want to be them.
No.
You don't want to be them. You want to run your own race and you want to keep to the path of your story because when people start deviating, they wake up and they're like, where am I? Where am I going? Yep. And why am I out here in the bush? Why am I not back in on that road?
Yep.
But my path. So I like to, it's what I talk about is your strengths and your weaknesses. And this is also confronting, but it's really good to know because if you know your strengths, you play to them, you know your weaknesses, you can also develop them. And I think it's really, really important. I think a business that says I have no weaknesses is a business that will not evolve because you need to know what you're good at and also what you can be better at. And also, what do you want to offer that? You know, that makes sense.
I actually wrote that down just as a thing to say is the challenge then, of course, is finding your story or finding it, what it is that you want or discovering what you want, because I think we can often be built up in a mold of what we're taught and you do it this way or your previous employment experiences tell you that this is the way to do it. And then having the confidence or the freedom to go out and discover, well, how do I want to do it? And I actually want to do it differently. And and actually everybody else is going that way, but I actually want to go over here and explore something new. So that takes a bit of confidence, I think, and just a little bit of time to...
I think it's life experience.
Find yourself.
Do you know what? It's like, I find it's life experience as well because it's confidence in yourself.
Yes.
Because you spend your life thinking you want one thing. And then I always feel like, and I talked about you, I think one of the questions you said is, you know, what is a quote? Or what is like,
Yeah, a quote or a mantra. Absolutely.
Yeah, a mantra. And my biggest one was just follow your gut. And your instinct is often right. Actually, it's always right. But your brain leads you down this garden path because it's telling you all the things you can't do. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. Well, no, I've never seen that, so it can't happen.
Yes.
And you spend your life sort of at this, you know, loggerheads with it. And often your brain, it's so smart. It just talks you out of things that, you know, you
it's trying to protect you.
Definitely. It's all self-preservation. But from my experiences, do back yourself and follow your instinct, because what's the worst that could happen? You've tried it and it didn't work. You know, that's the worst.
Yeah.
But the best is nothing ventured, nothing gained. If you don't push that envelope, if you don't try something that you believe in, you're never going to know. And I think knowing is power and learning. But you can spend your life sort of protecting yourself from that. But actually, until you go there, you don't know the possibilities.
I think that's beautifully said. You don't know the possibilities. And I always think if you can imagine it, you can do it.
Yes.
Even if you've never seen it before, if you can imagine it and you can see it working in your head, then, you know, like you say, follow your gut.
Follow it. Because it's, again, your unique thought. Nope. And don't think, oh, someone's already done this. Well, they may not have done it like you would.
That's
or they
right.
may not have seen it how you saw it.
So that's really kind of the bigger picture of what branding is, really. Authentic,
yeah.
Authentically you.
Yeah. Bringing an authentic story, telling an authentic story, and making it always being, if you're going to do it, you have to be consistent about it. Because sure. you can't say one thing somewhere and then not back it up elsewhere. Yeah. And that's why when we talk about teams, you need to believe it. Your team needs to believe it. And then whoever touches your business, whether it's service providers, anyone else that's involved in your business, they all need to believe it. And then in turn, it'll be mirrored back with your target market, you know, your clients, your customers. Mm. But it needs to be like a full force, and it needs to be on your website. Every, you know, I encourage your listeners to sit down and write every touch point to your business. Every single person that has some sort of connection with your business, they need to know the story.
Yeah.
And it needs to be, yeah, just consistent. And it actually isn't hard because you've got it. It's just writing it down. And that's what, but the brand pack for me is, it's me walking you through that. It's me drawing out this information that you normally would never think about and putting it down to a tangible brand pack. And so you then use this to make every business decision. Is it on brand? Is that every decision, if someone comes to you and go, we've got this new product, we think it'll be perfect, and you look at it, and instead of spending 4 days or a few hours going, is it, asking people, is this, you look at your brand pack and you go, no, it's not. It's a minute decision, as opposed to wasting your time and your own mind wondering if it is.
Now, you actually have a podcast yourself and a vlog that talks about this kind of thing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I have a YouTube page called, it's Claire Spalding, My Brand Story, and I do it weekly. I have interviews, but the gist is really speaking to small businesses about the importance of branding and about tools, tips and tricks on how they can empower themselves to connect, whether it be helping you with your strategy, working out your unique selling points, this top line information about just really empowering you. I use the vlog as just a great tool to just give information and some more understanding around what branding is. Because, yeah, it's not like I'm not a graphic designer. You know, everyone knows what a graphic designer does. Mm-hmm. Branding is it's an education.
Yeah.
But people that get it, they're the ones that have that point of difference. And they're the ones that their decisions are easier and they are singing a consistent song.
So tell us, where can we find you? What's your www and your vlog and your various things?
Okay, it's mybrandstory.me. That's my website. My vlogs and my podcasts are on there. Mm-hmm. You can find me on YouTube, which is Claire Spalding and My Brand Story. And then obviously the usuals, Instagram and Facebook. I do short little videos on my Instagram and share content on my Facebook, which is my _brand story.
Perfect. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your pearls of wisdom and not talking about logos and fonts and talking about personalities and inspirational mission statements. I think that's really, really is useful. And it is something that when I'm working with my own coaching clients, it's something that comes up a lot. Mm. And so I think it's been really good to touch on that today and give some clarity around that. So I really appreciate your time.
That's okay.
And I would love to put your you can come back to that, but I would just love to put some of your downloads or your things on the notes sheet on the webpage so people can find you.
Oh, definitely. Thank you. Just on that, logos are part of it. They're the end result. So once you've done your brand and you understand your brand, you then look at your logo. It's like the end. Okay. So it is connected, but it's at the end. It's not the first decision. It's the last decision.
But of course we start there because we're creators and we design and we want to make
because
pretty colours.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's beautiful. And it's something you can create.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, look, thank you again. We shall see you online. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you so much.
So there you have it. I'm sure there will be a few things that you can dive into after this chat with Claire. But if getting started with your salon branding feels a little bit out of your depth or you want some support on the topic, then I want to invite you to join the Salon Owners Collective Hub. I've invited Claire to come and do a masterclass on the topic to help you work through it step by step. The Hub has plenty of resources you need to help you fast track your business success so you can fully book out your salon, grow and retain a team of rock stars and earn more while leaving plenty of space for you still to have a life. So come and join me at salonownerscollective.com and find the Salon Owners Collective Hub. I look forward to seeing you inside the hub, and otherwise I will see you next week on the podcast. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.